you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Doing it and doing it and doing it.
Afternoons on the Score.
Reyes has had only one at bat this year with the bases loaded. He's 0-1. Base hit could win it for the Rays. Now the 0-2 pitch from Bednar on its way. Swing and a looping line drive to right field. It's going to drop for a hit. One run will score. Here comes Brujan around third. He will score. And the Rays have walked it off for the second consecutive game. Isaac Paredes with a two-run single, and the Rays win it 6-5 on this Saturday afternoon in St. Pete.
That is Isaac Paredes with the highlight. That is the late, great Dave Wills on the call, is it not, right there? He's going back a little bit. Very cool to hear him. Really interesting Cubs and Tampa trade yesterday in the middle of the game, in the middle of the afternoon. We've covered it here on The Score. If you missed Willie Harris at 2:40, Willie Harris on Parkins and Spiegel, he was terrific talking about the emotions of the moment and what kind of a person Christopher Morel is. And it can be very tricky stuff for a team to have to remove somebody in the middle of a season. But as Willie said, they're happy for Morel because he's going to a team that wants him. Tampa Bay wants him.
That's always the way a young player has to think about being traded. It's not that somebody didn't want you. It's that somebody came and got you.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. The Cubs give up two young pitchers in addition to Morel. One of them's Hunter Biggie, who's the nice story, the Harvard guy who finally made it to the big leagues a couple of weeks ago.
I believe he roomed with Rivers Cuomo.
It's entirely possible. And Tom Morello. All three of them shared yes. a degree. So Hunter Biggie will go there. He'll be in the Rays bullpen immediately, and their pitching infrastructure is so damn good that they'll probably fix him. They'll probably find a way for him to have control, which has been his bugaboo. I mean, you see what they do. Jason Adam was a Cub briefly, and they just kind of tossed him aside. And Tampa, he turned into an unbelievable reliever that they just got three really good prospects from the San Diego Padres for a few days ago.
And a massive, virulent homophobe. Well, and he can kiss my ass and burn in hell.
Alrighty then.
Who is that? Rivers Cuomo's a homophobe?
No, so you're doing it again. Now you're going to throw matzo balls at Rivers Cuomo. Stop doing it. Did you actually have a listener complain?
Yeah.
About what you said to me?
Yeah, about the matzo ball thing. Yep.
I didn't think you said balls.
You said throwing matzo.
You said matzo.
Yeah, but he thought I was threatening you with the matzo, but it was right. me asking you if you were going to threaten me with the matzo. So it's not anti-Semitic.
I think that's worse, actually.
Listen, it might be. It's not anti-Semitic, though.
It's an opportunity.
Anti-Catholic. It's anti-funny.
It's an opportunity for me to point out that the ball is not the only part of the matzo that's edible. That a lot of other
that's true.
A lot of other anatomical parts of the matzo.
I know
are
it
edible.
Is, but to remove them is incredibly painful to the matzo. It's a lot. You know, nobody likes to talk about
matzo.
That.
Doesn't mind the balls getting off. I don't know.
Some don't, but it can be terribly painful.
So Morel, really a ton of power, has one swing, has a one-dimensional swing. Is not a guy who at this point...
That's a bad take.
In his life or
and
his
And is not
career,
a third baseman.
No, is not a third baseman. I still remember David Ross. I half expected to hear it in the Goodfellas that Morel got. David Ross telling you last year, and Chris Tannell made a great Christopher Morel Goodfellas that should be heard and is available. Is he going to put that up somewhere, Tanny, on your SoundCloud perhaps? Somewhere? No, he says no. If you missed it, you missed it. You're just screwed. So you asked David Ross what his best position is. Remember what Ross told you?
He said second base, right?
No, he said DH. He told you guys DH, and you argued about that.
I said, what about, I thought it was second base.
Yeah, yeah. He said DH.
He said DH. Because
okay. They knew. And Ross knew. But they decided to do this experiment, which was a worthwhile experiment to see if he could play third. And it's funny because just the other night, on Saturday night, he made a bunch of really good plays. He cut off.
It's not those. It's the ones that Fangraphs remembers that we don't see all the time, where he allows an extra base or there's a play that should be made that isn't made, that's not an error.
Yeah.
That also, but is recognized as a defensive play that a replacement level player makes.
Tampa Bay wants Christopher Morel. And they want to get rid of Isaac Paredes because of the clock, because of the salary clock in a lot of ways. And there's an important distinction to be made about Paredes versus Morel. Much better defensively. Legit defensive third baseman. Not a genius defensive third baseman.
I wouldn't say plus-plus, but he's fine.
Legit useful. Legit useful at third base. And then the big difference with Isaac Paredes at the plate, ladies and gentlemen, two-strike approach. I am looking now at the best hitters in baseball in terms of their two-strike approach, okay? In terms of OPS with two strikes. And Isaac Paredes is 12th in all of MLB.
Does he sacrifice power?
Yes. Yes, he does. And that's okay. Morel is not a guy who can do that. They have enough guys. They will need power, but they need people who can do both in their lineup. They need desperately to have a diverse lineup and have people who can do this thing. This is a guy who had 31 homers last year and didn't strike out all that much. And is a guy this year who has some power and with two strikes can go the other way. He can go the other way, and he will also have some power with two strikes, but this is a guy who is willing and able to do that, and Morel hasn't even been asked. They haven't even tried it yet. He's a much more complete hitter. He's a much more complete third baseman, and as joyful as Morel is, as much fun as he is, as much as he replaced Javi Baez as a lot of people's favorite in terms of energy and entertainment factor, Paredes is a far better player with a couple fewer years and a little bit more expensive, but a worthwhile swap.
There's something about that position that is it's not one you want to think about a lot. It's a nice luxury in baseball, and I know this goes for every position, and this isn't a fully formed thought, but because it is generally considered a mid-skill defensive position, it's not center field, it's not shortstop, it's not second base, it's not catcher, that you can put a bat there. Yet, to have a good fielder there is a huge benefit. And to just to pencil a name in every day and just have a guy where it's not a moving part and it's not affecting everything else. We were talking about, Lawrence talking about today, you got to go back to Chris Bryant. Since the Cubs have really had something, they've been streaming that position.
Absolutely.
Like it's like a fantasy position where it's like, okay, I guess, you know, we'll try Hap over there. We'll put Bodie over there. There'll be a little, it just, to have somebody say, look, for the next 3 years.
Put Nick Madrigal over there.
Don't even get a start.
Put Miles Mastrobody for get extended looks
what
over
I mean.
There.
But for the lack of stress sake for Craig Counsell, be like, Craig, here's your third baseman. That's it. You're done. That's it. And if other things have to move around, you can move them around elsewhere. That is a position where it just must be nice to know that is a – you got a rock over there.
And they don't have many spots where you can just do a flat upgrade like that. They really don't. Left field and right field are locked in at around $20 million apiece.
How does he compare? Because when I'm going back to free agency and thinking about, you know, do you spend on Matt Chapman? Would Matt Chapman be worth it? What a side-by-side between what Chapman is now? And obviously the age difference is it would be striking. And Chapman is a better defender with a little more raw power, probably. But that would be because I was advocating for them. If you got the money, go ahead and spend on Matt Chapman. Now.
I hear you. You know, it's interesting. I don't know. We could look at it. I'll say this about Paredes, though. Those first two strikes, he is trying to pull the ball in the air every single time.
Good.
Right? You want people who can do both of those things, who are the A-hack and the B-hack. He's an A-hack and a B-hack guy. So the two-strike thing is nice, and that is good, but he is a guy who does have power and then can shorten up when need be. And, I mean, I'll never forget watching the Red Sox win the World Series with Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez doing exactly that. You know, it's like you need guys that can do that, and they just don't have that many of them.
What do you know about makeup with him? Just the kind of guy he is, how he carries himself around other people, because really that's what we're lamenting with Morel, is that he was just so adorable.
I know. But we heard Mark Topkin tell us some stuff about Isak Paredes this morning, the great beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times, who was on with Mully and Haw this morning as we got to know Isak Paredes.
Guy with 3 more years of control via arbitration, 25. Paredes, kind of a success story for the Rays scouting department. You know, as you know, he started with the Cubs, went to the Tigers as a young minor leaguer. And really hadn't done much with the Tigers. And the Rays trade for him at the end of spring in 2022 and ostensibly to open a spot for Josh Loeb by getting rid of Austin Meadows. And it turns out Paredes was the really good part of that deal for them, as evidenced by his selection of the All-Star team this year. Even though it's his first year of arbitration this year, he was making 3-4. That's probably going to double at least given the year he's having. So he's going to get, we kind of call it expensive parentheses by Rays standards is kind of how I typically write that, because they're on a little bit different scale than most other teams, obviously. But I think that's part of it, like I said, having the prospect coming. Paredes is a good defender. He's not a great defender. They're obviously very much a pitching and defense-oriented team. And I don't, you know, he's got a good way as a two-strike hitter to hit the ball to right field, like on the ground. He'll take a single to right or a double to right center. But there is something about all the home runs being pulled. I don't know, and they certainly don't consider it a gimmick or anything, but you do wonder how sustainable that is. I think the biggest answer to your first part of your question was how successful it would be for the Cubs. They just want to make sure they don't renovate Wrigley Field and push left field back any further.
What's he like to deal with? What's his personality?
Pretty low-key guy. Comes from Mexico. Does interviews with an interpreter. Kind of a happy guy, but he's not a big talker. He's very pleasant to deal with. When he made the All-Star team, that was one of the questions, and the fact that he got it a lot kind of speaks to, you know, his personality was, you usually don't like to be in the spotlight. Now you're an All-Star. And he kind of admitted it was going to be a little different. He was just, I think he was the only Mexican position player to make the All-Star team this year. The Rays had just like 30 requests from media outlets. They ended up kind of doing them in groups for him coming out of Mexico. So he's very proud of his Mexican heritage. He grew up. Vinny Castilla, who played for the Rays briefly, was one of his heroes. Alex Rodriguez. I'll give you a couple of little tidbits on him. When he hits a home run, he does the John Cena, you can't see me thing. So if somehow the Cubs get John Cena to Wrigley Field at any point, he'd be really thrilled by that. And he has a very romantic, his walk-up song is a romantic Mexican ballad. So it's very different than the typical walk-up song you hear. So there's a couple of little Isak tidbits for you.
Good stuff.
I look forward to you guys playing that Mexican ballad a couple times.
Tanny? I knew he would go and find it. It's why he's the best.
See, I want the lyrics. I want to know if it's actually, it may sound like a romantic Mexican ballad, but romantic about what?
What's it called, Tanny? What's the song called? You know?
It doesn't sound very romantic.
Que con palabras dices que me amas, con tus acciones dices lo contrario.
Good harmonies.
And it's very lovely.
How's this check out so far, Dan?
I don't know.
I'm just hoping.
Come on, dude.
I'm just hoping the guitar solo isn't just repeating the melody. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that'll piss off Dan.
What's the name of the song?
A toda prueba.
A toda.
Spell it. Use it in a sentence.
A toda.
This is the En Vivo version, by the way.
Oh. Uh-huh. Is this by Miguel y Miguel?
No. I don't even know how to say this one. Los Nuevo something. Look at that one.
It means foolproof.
Oh, no, I think, no, we can't pronounce that.
If you want to use it in a sentence.
A toda prueba.
A toda prueba is the walk-up song for Isak Paredes.
Yeah, sorry about the guys that had Javier Assad's walk-out song. Your 15 minutes of fame's over.
It's over, baby.
We got this guy now.
We've moved on. Hey!
It's not my happy music.
Did we just double our Mexicans on the team? We doubled them. We got Javier Assad and Isak Paredes. That's
yeah,
awesome.
But neither one of them has the Mexican pitching record. That still belongs to Esteban Loaiza, who,
although
I believe old Esteban is went to the old Gray Bar Hotel.
Did they take that record away from him?
Did he have to forfeit the Mexican pitching record?
Oh no!
When he got there, it's like possessions. they put out the little drawer, and he's like, here's my wallet. Here's my watch.
Why is he Danny going to prison? Not my wallet.
He goes, I guess you got to take this too. It's a giant trophy. Like, oh, is that the Mexican pitching record? It is. Well, if you ever get paroled.
The day he gets paroled, he's taking the excited walk right off the grounds.
And then he's going up to Buxton, Maine and finding a piece of volcanic glass.
He'll get out, right?
I find myself so excited I can hardly speak.
Except for anyone who will pay me.
I can hardly keep a thought in my head.
I mean, was he anything but a mule?
Zawatanejo.
Like, he'll get out.
Esteban Loaiza?
He had to be more than just a mule.
I don't know if he was more than just a mule, dude.
He was more than just a mule.
There it is.
Sorry, fit to the tantrum.
You know, the spelling of his name is what lost me the $100 question on beer money.
Oh,
on
Loaiza?
TV? Yeah. Yeah. I did not
that
spell Esteban
Bears,
correctly.
The Bears' all-time sack leader?
Hey, I'm here every week. Right.
I was on that show.
Brian Erlanger.
That was the $100 question.
Drug mule machine.
I put an O instead of an E. I said Esteban. Instead of Esteban.
Come yes on,
but
man.
I spelled Loaiza correctly.
Would you spell Steve Stove?
I mean, they do in Bridesmaids. That's the spelling of the name
Steve. Steven.
Steven.
I don't know.
Estovan.
I've never been Hispanic once. I'm not going to start.
Well, there was the one time.
I told you not to mention that ever again.
Sorry.
Damn it, Dan.
Lo siento mucho.
Oh, goodness. So anyway.
So where were we?
Cubs made a trade.
Cubs made a trade. They doubled their Mexicans. And we got a Vinny Castilla reference.
Well, Miguel Amaya.
He's Panamanian. Miguel Amaya is from Panama. I'm Pedro.
Miguel Amaya!
Oh, yeah! Uh-huh.
And, which, when you realize it's a song about a car, sort of changes the way you think about the lyrics.
Panama by Van Halen?
It's about a car.
He was sexually attracted to that car.
Well, it sort of like Shook Me All Night Long is also about a car.
All I know is that Panama had a 47-second post. So when I used it to open the McNeil and Boards
show.
It's
a good song.
That's a really
Panama's
good,
a really
it's
good,
a really it's good a opening really, riff.
It's a really good song. But the story about it Shook Me All Night Long is apparently it's the one that Brian Johnson had written after he had his audition to replace Bon Scott. Like, they're like, okay, you're in, you're great, you can scream for 3 hours and be fine. Do you have any songs? And he was working in a garage. And Brian Johnson, big car guy. Uh-huh. And he wrote this song about a car. And they looked it over and like, yeah, this is great, but can you make it about a woman? He's like,
really?
Yeah. He tells the story, and I mean, to hear Brian Johnson tell the story is hilarious. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, he's like, can you make it? He's like, yeah, I could probably, you know, retrofit it to be about a woman instead of a car.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. So speaking of AC/DC and some of the music conversation we've been having, my role at the late Steve Albini's poker game, as you know, was to bring celebrity wine. That was my gig. I brought Mike Ditka's Kick-Ass Red,
which is good,
and we would talk about how it had you could taste bits of Dinty Moore beef stew and Victory. I would bring Don Cooper's Cooper Nay, and we would make jokes about that.
Sure. One time, Greg Norman.
I never brought the Greg Norman. I brought the Dave Matthews Band wine.
The Tom Seaver. That's expensive.
Well, I brought the Dave Matthews, and Steve said this wine is too jammy. It hits too many notes, right? Is what we would do.
Cute.
I brought the AC/DC wine.
Guys?
Yeah, I brought the AC/DC wine one time, and he said,
it's "Same as the wine. It's just like the other bottles of wine they keep putting out."
I love this vintage they put out every year. Yes. Is exactly right. Well, Steve passed away. The record producer, engineer Steve Albini. This weekend was a 4-day memorial for the man at the Illinois Beach Hotel in Zion, and some of the stuff was live streamed. It was an astounding gathering of music and improv comedy and art people, and just an incredible thing put on by his wife, Heather Winna. And I for anybody who loved Steve, you can find some of the live streams that they have put out there. It's just incredible confluence of people. And I find myself thinking about him constantly all weekend. I was invited and could not get down there, but
He's a fearless, fascinating, and sui generis character. That is a... When people are referred to as complicated, he was legitimately complicated in a lot of ways.
But he grew and evolved as a soul and a person along the way, and was open about some misdeeds and some things he did as a young punk that he regretted, and talked about that openly. And found charity. LettersToSanta.org is an incredible organization that he and Heather started and will still go, and I'll be supporting it, and other folks should. Just an incredible man, a Chicago icon, and I'm glad that they paid respects to him in this incredible way over the last 4 days. It is 670 The Score. It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show. It's Spiegs and Bernsey. Sometimes our listeners are doing jobs that we had no idea they were doing. I got a new one yesterday. I want to run it by you next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're having a little fun.
It is Parkinson Spiegel. Dan Bernstein sitting in for Danny Parkins. Trade deadline is tomorrow. It's been a very active and intense day in MLB, and it has included a big White Sox trade, which is perplexing on the surface. The White Sox traded away Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham and Michael Kopech. That's all fine and dandy, but the prospect package they got back includes one Major League-ready guy from the Dodgers, the 24-year-old Miguel Vargas, who will plug and play. We're not sure what position yet. Maybe Chris Getz will clarify. He's speaking right now, and we're going to give you some of him talking in a matter of moments. And then they got two other lower-level prospects from the Dodgers. Had two guys in the top 30 from the beginning of the year list for the Dodgers. But that's it. They didn't get anything from the Cardinals. In fact, they had to include money to St. Louis in order to make this work. The Cardinals dominated this particular trade. So it's been interesting. Also, Garrett Crochet in the news, and some of Chris Getz's thoughts on that are very, very interesting. First, though, let's bring you this, as it's Parkinson Spiegel, Spiegs and Dan Bernstein, Chris Getz, the White Sox GM, in the dugout talking to media. This is Getz talking about the prospects they got back in this three-team trade today.
Well, I'm sure you guys want to talk about, the trade activity earlier today. We obviously, feel really good about, the trade, the three-way trade, which, sometimes it's easier said than done to get a three-way trade to the finish line because, you've got so many different variables, moving parts, working through that process. And we had been at it for, close to a week to 10 days, at least talking different concepts. And we were able to get it to the finish line today. And I look back at, where we were at opening day with, the players that we moved on from today and traded to other clubs, whether Eric, Tommy, Michael, and going back to the winter meetings when we signed Eric Fetty and having that conversation and explaining to everyone why we were signing Eric Fetty, even though he had a fantastic year in the KBO, and and what we saw in him. And I'm really proud of what he was able to accomplish on his journey back to the big leagues. And you know, in talking to Eric, you know, he was very thankful to be able to get back to the big leagues and establish himself as a top of the rotation type arm in a short period of time. And, you know, with the current state of our organization, where we were in the off season to where we are now, with the idea of identifying players like Eric and be able to you know, more or less drive a value up of a player to be able to bring in prospect capital in which we were able to do. So, yeah, really proud of doing that. Obviously, Michael, you know, we've had for a longer time in our organization. You know, he was in the minor leagues. I just started as a farm director when we acquired him. It might have been one of my first phone calls, acquisition phone calls, to welcome him in. And, you know, it hasn't been smooth sailing for him, and he's grown up a lot, both on and off the field. I'm proud of Michael and the person that he's become. I know in talking to him, he felt like, you know, he wanted to give more to the White Sox. Felt like he could have given more, but I certainly didn't want him to feel like he let anyone down, because he's accomplished a lot. I mean, I guess in kind of recent history here, where he was at the end of the season and trying to get him to the finish line, you know, as a starter, we gave him a taste of the bullpen where we were in spring training and establishing himself as a pretty solid reliever, even dominant at times. You know, as an organization, we felt like we, you know, drove up his value as well and was able to capitalize that for the long-term health of the organization. God. And Tommy, we didn't even have...
Drove up his value.
Accomplished a lot.
So, I mean, look, the whole year was about maximizing trade assets. And
the whole year was supposed
them.
To be about competing.
No, well,
according to Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah, that was always folly. That was always silly and impossible.
They said it.
I know, but I don't think he really said competing, Dan. He said like a quicker turnaround should be able to be a quicker turnaround because you've got somebody who knows everything.
They didn't take being competitive in 2024 off the table.
Well, they should have. And clearly the year was about acquiring trade assets and flipping them and turning players that you were willing to let go into prospects. And look, saying that they did a good job maximizing Kopech's value is an embarrassing statement to hear. Let's continue with Chris Getz.
Tommy, at opening day, and the bolt, or I should say the jolt that he gave to our offense when he came over here was well needed. You know, he the way he goes about his business as a hitter, as a professional, was welcomed. We will miss him, but also... you know, I look back and feel like we got a lot out of Tommy Pham and was able to, you know, package him in this deal as well to, you know, once again, help the long-term health of our organization. So, you know, Miguel Vargas, I'd say people that are fans are probably more familiar with him because he's been in the big leagues. He hasn't gotten a clear runway at the major league level. And he's one of the young, you know, younger, brighter bats in our game. And, you know, the way that he puts together at bats, his zone awareness, his contact ability, his power potential, you know, we're a team that ranks at the bottom offensively. And so our focus was to find bats through our acquisition process here at the trade deadline, and we'll continue to be able to inject three offensive players into our organization, I think, is a wise move. You know, Vargas obviously is further along in his career and will be in our lineup here at some point in the coming days. And look forward to getting his major league journey going as a getting every day at bats. So, and Gerald Perez, he played in the Futures game, another guy that's you know, got a bright future, high ceiling. He can be an impactful offensive force, plays in the middle infield. He's got zone control, and he's got bat to ball, and really loves to get after it. The makeup's really strong there. And Alexander Albertus is another guy that's just getting his minor league career going. He got off to a great start in the ACL. Our scouts were raving about him analytically. He looked strong too. So to get those three, we felt like was a very, very good return, especially considering where we were in opening day. And using some of the players that have become something to acquire talent.
All right, so Chris Getz feels good about the three players they got back for three major leaguers in Fetty, Pham, and Kopech. It should be said that Miguel Vargas, in six seasons in the minors, an OPS of almost 900, 278 walks to 374 strikeouts. Very, very impressive.
It's a long time in the minors.
So. I know, but he's 24. I mean, as a Dodger, remember, I mean, it's like Michael Busch. It's a lot like Michael Busch in terms of...
harder to break through a logjam on a team that's got talent and continues to be willing to pay for more of it.
And I was told after the Cubs picked up Michael Busch, you know, the Dodgers have like six guys like that. Like really good minor league hitters who are in their early to approaching mid-20s. So maybe Vargas will pan out here. We'll have to see. Third baseman, second baseman, left fielder. And then the other two guys, as he talked about. This is the stuff that we've been dying to hear, though. Garrett Crochet made his extension demands known publicly, and Bob Nightingale intimated that the team learned of it by the public leak, that's how the team learned about it. So then Chris Getz talked about that today, Garrett Crochet's camp making his extension demands known publicly.
Garrett and I, you know, I felt like we've had a really strong relationship back to when we drafted him. And, you know, I think about, you know, the alternate site and, you know, he made his major league debut, you know, so quickly without any minor league games. And I remember driving over here. He had never been to a major league park and being with him and kind of going through that experience with him, you know, getting acclimated to the major leagues and, you know, going through his injuries and you know, his decision along with mine to go into this year preparing to be a starter and giving him a chance to do that. I'm really, you know, I continue to feel that we have a really open and honest relationship. And certainly I believe in Garrett and he goes out, whether I believe in him or not, doesn't matter because he believes in himself as a pitcher. The communication had been very strong between Garrett and I and you know, his agency. And, you know, I was a little surprised and taken back by how they went about it. You know, considering that I had a conversation with his agent, you know, the night before, I didn't, you know, that's not exactly the tactic that I would have taken, you know, even being a former player, quite honestly, you know, just because the dialogue had been so honest, and real and careful and mindful, of his career, because, you know, I've known him since we got him. So I was a little surprised by it. I was, I think most people, most fans, and even players, you know, without knowing everything, it makes sense. I think we understand, you know, why a stance would be taken like that. Now, how you go about expressing that is what was, you know, a bit hurtful, quite honestly, considering I felt like we could have handled it a little bit differently and still, I think, everyone accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. So, you know, but I, you know, Garrett's a very talented arm and he's just getting his starting career going. And you know, he's looking out for his long-term well-being. We fully understand and support that. And we'll continue to do so. But the belief that we didn't have his best intentions in mind, I think, was what I was a little surprised by with how it was handled. But you know, we're Garrett and I are fine. We are good. I'll continue to be one of his top supporters. And you know, in regards to how it affects his you know, the coming days. Tough to tell.
Is it fair to say that some teams have backed away because of the rhetoric?
I think that it created some questions in which, you know, sometimes I'm able to combat some of that just because of the relationships I have with other clubs. You know, but it definitely created some questions, you know, the Short-term and long-term consequences are unknown.
Wow, there's a lot there to
surprised
talk about.
And taken aback and
hurtful
and admitted to it affecting their trade negotiations.
Let's talk about that, you and I really want to react to that. And we also have a little of Chris Getz talking about the AJ Pierzynski rumors to be the manager. Goodness, a crazy baseball trade deadline day, the deadline tomorrow. We will discuss and play you Getz on AJ when we come back. Mark Grody at the top of the hour with a full Bears report. Everything you need to know from a very busy sports day coming up here on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on The Score.
No one has approached me about this job. No one has talked to me about this job. I heard some other names that were mentioned for possibly getting this job, but it wasn't me. But yeah, I mean, if a team calls you to be their manager, it's hard to not at least accept an interview and at least sit down and talk to them about it.
That's AJ Pierzynski earlier today. On his show, Foul Territory, talking about whether he had been approached about the White Sox managerial job or not. It's Spiegs and Dan Bernstein on Parkins and Spiegel. Let's hear Chris Getz talking about AJ Pierzynski from just a little while ago in the White Sox dugout, talking about this rumor of his friend, former teammate, I don't know if it's a friend, a former teammate, and the possible managerial opening.
Quite honestly, haven't paid too much attention to it. I understand the speculation considering the state of our Major League club at the moment. Right now we're focused on the trade deadline and, and Pedro's focused on, a winning game tonight. Rumors are rumors. It sounds like names have been thrown out there, which that's pure speculation, nothing more than that. I'm sure those won't slow down, but I'd like to think that we're both professional enough that we just focus on what we have to do that day to either help the short-term or long-term health of the Chicago White Sox.
All right, so that's not much of anything there from Chris Getz, but at least we got it on the record. He has spoken, we have heard it, and so have you. We'll see what happens there.
I still can't believe he referred to Garrett Crochet going public with his contract demand as hurtful.
Let's talk about that. Chris Getz, hurtful? Chris Getz's former job was very much about relationships and making sure that young players had everything that they needed, including support and emotional connection and all of that in order to improve ball players.
When he wasn't making sure that their managers weren't abusive perverts.
Gotcha. But you know what I mean.
What do you need? Well, can my manager not be an abusive pervert? Other than that, I mean.
Because
he kind of is.
That job, Dan, is about relationships. And this job now, as a boss at a trade deadline, is you want to be respectful of dudes, and I like that he said it's been open, the conversation, the communication's been good, but if it's been hurtful now to you personally because a player has used a negotiating ploy publicly, then tell him privately. Like, don't cop to that here. This is a professional atmosphere. That dude is, if he screwed you, you can be upset about it, but you've got to try and make a freaking deal here. This isn't about your feelings. How many times do we hear that? You've got to be dispassionate as a wheeler dealer.
Getting their feelings hurt. I mean, it sounds to, here's what I think. I think Crochet and his agents realized that they had a move, they had a card they could play.
That nobody in baseball has really played. Football people play it.
Sure, but they decided, look, let's try this. And they did. And it put the White Sox in a more difficult position.
Uh-huh.
So
screwed them on the trade talks.
So maybe a little bit. Maybe did, maybe didn't. But the point is, it's clear they're not going to have a deal. That shot at moving Crochet, which might have been their big hot iron on which to strike, is not there anymore. And Getz got caught flat-footed in dealing with it, and he's pissed about it. And instead of going out strongly and going hard, which he could do.
Yeah, if you want to talk about this, then you should go hard at the player for doing this.
Or not saying anything. It comes across as wishy-washy to be like, well,
we would have had a deal, but it was a personal thing, and it was hurtful, and we were taken aback by it, and that's why we don't have a deal. If you want to point the finger at him and say, hey, man, he could have had a much better deal, and he made it difficult for us, then point the finger.
Yeah.
Or don't say anything. And say, we have been working really, really hard, but we couldn't find a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
But to come out in the middle like that?
In the middle like that and be wishy-washy.
Publicly.
And be kind of and soft in talking
about
it.
Yeah. If you want to go home and say that to your wife, or you want to confide in a drinking buddy with some of that stuff, it's one thing. I think...
Go to Jed Hoyer's backyard and talk to him about it if you want.
Sure,
then we know you do that. Don't go telling everybody about that, because that makes you sound very soft in terms of what it takes to do this job.
And if you're a powerful agent right now or a player, you're representing people on the White Sox, like, oh, this is how we do business now. This is how we do business.
I'll tell you right now, I couldn't do that job. I would get too emotionally attached to dudes. I would want to be a good person. I would want to be very, like, thoughtful and sensitive and doing it. That's not how you do that job. Look at AJ Preller. Look at Jerry DePoto. These are aggressive people who don't give a crap about pissing off humans as needed. You got to look at these assets and deal with it. The Mariners felt betrayed when Jerry DePoto traded Kendall Graveman in the middle of 2021. Then they went out and made the freaking playoffs. He's still there. They just got Randy Rosarena the other day. They just got Justin Turner today. That freaking dude does not care about his assets' feelings. I couldn't do that job, but that's how you have to do that job.
You have to treat yourself like a fantasy sports manager. Like, as silly as that sounds, you cannot look at these players as people. If you look at them as people, then you're showing weakness.
There's a scene in Moneyball where he's telling the De Podesta character, just go in and tell him he's traded.
Yeah.
And he'll say, okay. It's like, all right,
you got to deal with it.
What do I need to know? You're checking with the secretary's over here, turn in your stuff, turn in your key card, get over here.
I just saw a story on Rob Bradford's podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring. It was Dayton Moore talking about Chris Young of the Rangers last year, before the deadline, said he brought his entire baseball operations staff in, and he said, all right, do you guys think we can win the World Series this year? And they talked about it, and everybody said yes. He said, okay, well, then you see this list of prospects here? I don't want anybody defending them from this point forward. I don't want any of you telling me that we can't give up these guys, because all these guys are assets for us to win the World Series this year. And Dayton Moore said, you know what? It really brought the room together and hammered home the point of what we're actually doing. That's the freaking job. Bring in a brain trust, be in charge of it dispassionately. And Chris Getz is showing you that that's a challenge right now. That's why you interview other people instead of just hiring a guy you like within your own organization.
I'm still kind of hung up on how his approach is going to resonate throughout baseball. Somebody who might be traded in the future. Are you gonna blame me for not being able to trade me,
right,
because I exercised some professional agency?
Uh-huh.
Because I decided I had an opportunity to affect the market in
Amen.
A way that wasn't under team control.
Amen.
And now you're here going, well, it was hurtful.
Last year, Montez Sweat told the Bears he wasn't getting on the field until they signed an extension after the trade, right? That works in NFL. This is Garrett Crochet trying that out. And if that's the way that it's going to go,
and
MLB,
NBA players run the league.
And NBA players run the league. This is a baseball player trying to do that, and it pissed off his GM. And instead of him yelling at him, or instead of him like keeping it tight, he lets you know it was hurtful. That is some weak sauce. 670, The Score is where you are. He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Parkins at Spiegel Show. Mark Grody is next with a Bears report.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.